The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
On this show, we're enjoying Miral Syrah Terre Siciliani, a well-balanced wine for a well-balanced conversation. Welcome to The She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. Looking and feeling good is part of our makeup as women. No matter who you are and what your personal style looks like, everybody wants to feel good about themselves. Fast fashion is more affordable and readily available than ever before. But wearing the trending outfit comes at an astonishing environmental and humanitarian cost. While the impacts of the fashion industry in terms of pollution, water use, carbon emissions, human rights and gender inequality are increasing, the need for a shift to sustainable fashion is ever more evident. The planet simply cannot afford for us all to behave as we currently are. The clothing industry represents an important part of our economies, with a value of 1.2 trillion euros and employing over 300 million people every year. But in the last 20 years, global fiber production has almost doubled from 58 million tons in 2000 to 116 million tons in 2022, and is expected to continue to grow to 147 million tons by 2030 if business as usual continues. While people bought 60% more garments in 2014 than in 2000, they only kept garments for half as long. What's more, 85% of all textiles go to the dump each year. Around 20% of industrial water waste pollution worldwide originates from the fashion industry. Less than 1% of material used to produce clothing is recycled into new clothing. The fashion industry is the second largest consumer of waste, and the equivalent of one garbage truck full of clothes is burnt or dumped in a landfill every single second.
Keep your self-care journey on track in just a few clicks with Myoka Spas. Whether for a moment of disconnection, a complete body-mind reset, or a bonding time together, book online stress-free at myoka.com or use the new Myoka app. Complimentary spa facilities on every visit.
I could go on, and I have more statistics, but quite frankly, they are absolutely shocking. But to talk us through sustainable style, how to look good in the long term, I have three guests who know a thing or two about fashion. Thank you so much, ladies, for being here at the table with me. Carla Greamer, we'll start with you. You've been a guest on The She Word before, way back in season two. And we looked at style and fashion and really how they sit in different positions. Carla studied fashion in the UK and Paris before becoming a designer and establishing her own slow fashion and lifestyle label based here in Malta, using natural fibers and produced locally. Carla is also a mum, a wife, and has strong views on fashion, style, and sustainability. Carla, thank you so much for being here again. I'm going to come to you in just a moment to fill in the gaps. Martina Forte. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. I'm so glad that you're here. You've joined us from the VF Group, Gucci, Prada. You have a fantastic high-end fashion design style heritage. So I'm so glad that you're here with us. Nicola Portelli. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. You contacted me a long while ago to discuss this topic. I love that you're giggling because you're sitting there going, yes, it was a long while ago. And I absolutely love what you do. Your brand is Rent Luxury, which allows customers to rent high-end and designer items and clothing, which is a common practice in Prague, which is where I've been spending a lot of time recently, and also other European countries. In fact, as I mentioned before, I was originally going to rent my wedding dress. So this principle is not new, and it's actually wide across Europe. And I'm going to stick with you because I'm going to ask you, Nicola, to fill in the gaps, because you have this business, you're obviously interested in fashion and style, and you look gorgeous, but fill in the details.
Thank you. Well, it's everywhere except Malta, it seems. So we're the first luxury handbag and dress rental platform. We're a fully circular business. It's based on an access-based consumption model. So we have a peer-to-peer lending system where we
Back up. Okay, because there's lots of fancy words in there. So what's a circular and what's peer-to-peer?
Exactly. So what happens is that if Trudy has a dress and it's just sitting in her wardrobe and she'd like to make some money, or for example, if Trudy has a dress sitting in her wardrobe, she could list it on our platform, earn money, and also ensure that a renter will rent her dress. And that way, the person who would like to rent a dress for an event wouldn't need to go and consume more resources to get another dress. And then for the next event, they can rent the next one from someone else. And the same dress would be worn by multiple individuals rather than, you know, me going to buy a dress and then just leaving it there. That's a waste of resources, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. So it's based on access. So you gain access to the product rather than owning it and just leaving it there. And so that's a fully circular business model.
I absolutely love it. And I've seen this in lots of other European countries, as I mentioned. We're going to talk about that in more detail because that's a fantastic solution. But is this what you do full time? And why are you so interested in fashion?
It's not what I do full time.
Okay.
So by profession, I'm a CPA, certified professional accountant. I'm a head of...
No, you're way too interesting.
So my job is very corporate and very serious, but this like fashion has always been like my escape. So from 9 to 5, I'm very serious, but before work and after work, I work on Rent Luxury because it gives me so much joy. The creative part of me just comes out and I love it. Like, it's what keeps me going.
So. That is amazing. Ladies, I have to say, did that not take you by surprise? Because accountancy was the last thing that I thought you were going to say. We're going to dive into all of your passion and your ideas and what you do as part of this conversation. But I have to say, first of all, thank you so much for coming up with this idea for this show. We've been talking for how long?
It's been ages, but it's something that's very close to my heart, so I would have fought till the end.
I feel threatened. But thank you so much. Thank you so much. Martina, I'm going to come to you next. So you are not Maltese like me.
I'm Italian.
We have an Italian in the table. That kind of is just absolutely exciting. So how long have you been in Malta?
It's now 1.5 years. It's quite recent, I would say, but it's been an exciting journey being here. And yeah, I mean, I've always worked in fashion. I've studied fashion. So that's been my passion since a while now.
Amazing. And whereabouts are you from in Italy?
I'm from Florence, and the city itself speaks beauty, but also fashion at the same time. Fashion is full of manufacturers, leather manufacturer specifically. And there is where, let's say, quality has been really created, I would say.
I love this. But I always feel intimidated talking to Italians because it feels like Italians and I have to say our French friends as well have style and fashion in their
veins.
Blood. Exactly. Yeah. So as a British person, and I'm going to speak for myself and my country who has no style, I feel very intimidated and I'm sort of a bit nervous. But this is always what you've done. This is your point of passion as well.
Yes.
And you've worked with some of the biggest, you know, beautiful, most beautiful brands in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I started my internship at Max Mara, where indeed I went on understanding quality, really. Like at Max Mara, the quality of wool cashmere they're selecting is really their specialization, I would say. And then, yes, I went on working for Danish startup and then for Gucci. But yes, I also did a part-time job in Prada. So yes, they're big names. But what I would say is the red thread that, let's say, makes them all in one common line is for sure Italian craftsmanship. And passion for fashion. Well, that's coming from my end.
No, I'm, again, thoroughly intimidated by having an Italian at the table.
No, definitely not.
About fashion.
No.
I'm extremely thrilled that you're here. Martina, thank you for being with us. Which leads me nicely on to Carla. You have been on the show before, but fill in the gaps because you have this beautiful designer heritage.
Okay, so I was studying fashion and I started studying fashion design when I realized that there's more to fashion than just the design element. I moved to fashion innovation and management, which was still design, but it focused a lot on the technical side, which I was surprised I loved because I never thought I was technical. I was terrible at maths, and the technical side requires a lot of precision and, you know, calculation.
But the technical side is what? Is this pattern cutting?
Pattern cutting.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Which I really loved. And I specialized in a program called Gerber, but it's a computer-aided manufacturing program. And what it does is it helps you create patterns digitally, which helps minimize waste because you're seeing everything planned out on a computer screen. And you're seeing, say your fabric is, you know, a meter by 150, you're seeing how you can place your pattern pieces to minimize waste when you're cutting. And to do that on a computer is a lot quicker than doing it manually. And you can really like move things around quite quickly and wedge things in and see if you need to adjust your pattern before your pattern's finalized. So it's a bit like a jigsaw, and I got quite into this part of design, and it led on to creating a different way of cutting, which I then lectured at university about, which was really great, like finding different ways to use stretch with woven fabrics. And anyway, it's like
you were totally geeking out on us. But you know, as you were talking, and we're going to talk about sustainability in just a few minutes, as you were talking, I suddenly thought to myself, this is something I have no clue about. There's a very quick aside. When I was at school, you did home economics and craft design technology. Craft design technology and technology was woodwork, metalwork, and plastics. I unfortunately set light to an oven when I was in my first year when I was making a pizza, and me and my friend were banned from doing any home economics, which means no sewing, no cooking, nothing. And instead, they put us into woodwork, metalwork, and on, you know, saws and with blow torches and stuff like that. That I'll never work out. But so I've never thought about that. And I think most probably people won't think about the fact that you have to cut patterns to make an outfit mm-hmm. out of a piece of fabric. And that in itself leads to waste. So we're going to come back to that. Mm-hmm. So bringing that right up to date, you have your own brand.
Yes, I have my own brand, which started quite organically in Malta. When I started that, you know, cutting things to fit within, let's say, that meter was quite an obsession. You know, you're starting a company, you're funding this, you need to minimize waste from the start. Otherwise, you're going to go bankrupt before you make your first sale. So that was really important to me. And I had, I guess I was already thinking in that way from my previous experience. But another thing that was important to the brand, which we started with and we still feel very strongly about, was where it's being produced. Mm. So we started in Malta. It all started with, you know, a friend of mine flying in from the UK, moving here for, I think, a year and a half or 2 years, and doing most of the manufacturing and setting up a small studio here, but also working with our neighbors in Italy for the craftsmanship and because they're so close. So minimizing the distances and sort of maximizing on communication as well. And
I love that. That's absolutely brilliant.
And that's always, I mean, I don't market myself as a sustainable brand, but these things are sort of values that were with me from the start.
Brilliant.
And in this age of fast fashion at its peak, I feel sort of stubbornly strong about sticking to those.
Well, you see, absolutely. And you have just said that word, or those two words, I should say, fast fashion, which is going to be the first thing that we look at, the first discussion that we have, because I want to start getting your thoughts on fast fashion. What drives it? What influences it? And so why are so many of us wanting to wear the latest trending item? Because 1.2 trillion euros a year is a lot of money. And a lot of that is going into this fast fashion being brands like Shein, being, what was the other brand I mentioned earlier?
No.
Temu. And these brands like this, Zara, et cetera, et cetera. This is fast fashion. So why has this come about? Why do we have fast fashion? And what is this drive to always wear something new?
I think what's really driving it, and it's always in our face. So as soon as you open Instagram, any social media platform, before ads were on billboards, whereas now you're constantly seeing ads from every brand. This is our latest collection from 5 different brands. Everyone's constantly releasing collections. And without even wanting to, you just want to be like everyone else. You know, everyone wants to fit in, sort of, from this like aspect of society, wanting to fit in. And so you're seeing someone who you follow wearing something different in every post. And people are like, I want to be like that. And so if you're constantly seeing it, that's what you believe to be the norm. And, you know, with the rise of hauls, large hauls of Shein, where people just are celebrated for having piles
of
clothing.
What?
So like a haul, a video, like on YouTube, it's really like popular to have like a Shein haul where people order like 5 boxes of Shein and they celebrate the idea of always having something different to wear.
My algorithms have never brought me that. You're serious?
Yes, yes. And the problem with that is that since it's such poor quality, like you'll wear it once and then where does it end up? In a landfill. So I think there's a lot of social media which is really pushing this agenda, I believe.
But it's also our, as consumers, we've bought into that impulse shopping. So as you said, you open your social media accounts and you're presented with an offer that sounds too good to be true. So you open it, you're seeing the discount that's offered, or you're seeing like, not even discount, the original price that's too good to believe. So you're just shopping because it's so cheap. Why not? I'll get it in every color and then I'll see if I'll wear it, you know? I mean,
So you'd buy something and then...
I mean, I wouldn't buy something.
No. But a generic, you'd buy something and then see if you're going to wear it afterwards?
For sure.
Exactly. Yeah, so many people do.
When it's cheap.
Yes.
And this is what I believe is the difference with buying into fast fashion and buying into premium or luxury brands, where when something costs more, you're going to think about it before you buy it. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with looking at something in a shop and saying, I need to think about it, and not impulsively buying it. I mean, we shouldn't be embarrassed for having to do that. And it's great. Mm-hmm. You go home and think about it.
Yeah, indeed. I think, trend forecasting, it's a huge thing for fashion. And it's has always been there. I mean, there are trend reports that has been created since ever. And in fact, fashion is everything about the desire, right? So it's always been there. What I believe, as these two amazing ladies just said, what has been changed massively, it's how it got of this vicious circle where you need to show off what you have and you need to keep up with trends continuously. So yes, you have that impulse of buying and you go for it. You just don't think about it and you just buy it. For sure, these lately has increased a lot because let's imagine 30, 40 years ago, fast fashion wasn't even existing. So that's why now it's becoming really a thing, in my opinion.
Yes, 30, 40 years ago, I was there. And it was, thank you so much. And I mean, we did have clothes that were right. cheaper. We had clothes in the high street that were cheaper end, but never fast fashion. And I think it's worth remembering as well, because you mentioned, Nicola, about social media. And I think it's worth remembering that it's not in Shein's interest or any of these fast fashion brands' interest for us to hold on to the item of clothing. Mm-hmm. And we'll come to waste in a minute, because they're not there predominantly to make us feel all squishy about the brand. They're there to make money. Mm-hmm. And they make money by us picking up an item, wearing it once, and then saying, okay, now I need something else. That's where the money comes from. That's if you look, I always say, follow the money, that's where the money is. It is their design to make us want more mm-hmm. and not to, I should imagine a fast fashion brand's absolute ideal consumer is somebody that orders boxes, I've got a haul of Shein, wears one item and then orders it all again. They don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. In fact, they do give a crap, because if you don't wear it, then you're going to get something new. You're going to say, okay, this didn't really fit me, mm-hmm. so I'm just going to throw this away. Mm-hmm. I mean, surely that's just abhorrent.
And I find that some people say, but I'll donate those clothes. And that's that doesn't always work, because in Malta, it's a bit different, but in other cities, when you donate clothes, one, they go through a washing process, which is wasteful, mm-hmm. and they don't always end up in these NGOs or secondhand shops. Sometimes they do get thrown away because people don't select those clothes. And these secondhand shops don't want to be buying fast fashion brands. They want to be buying brands that are a bit more special, so the consumer will enjoy buying that product, not something that's not going to last them. So it doesn't know this, don't worry, I'll donate it, which I hear very often, I think you say it to feel good about what you're doing, but it doesn't like do any good for the planet.
In fact, something like sort of related to this, like many people who order these hauls just do it for the video and then return them back to the brand with tags on. But it is not as straightforward as, you know, I got it and returned it and it's back on the shelf. Many brands decide not to put mm-hmm. it back on the shelf. And so garments which are returned end up being stored, and then God knows what happens to them. But they're not put back into circulation. Mm-hmm. So that's something that many people aren't really aware of either.
I only learned about this recently from having this conversation. I had no idea, but that's a really big thing. They end up in landfills more than
exactly
on the shelves.
And
no, in fact, it's also for brands. I have experience from the other end, you know, working from the website and who is receiving worn garments. A huge dispute then would start with the customer. And like you still want to give the customer a reasoning, like trust the goodwill that he or she didn't wear that, but then eventually you still have the worn garment that you still need to decide what you want to do exactly. with, you know. So,
well, you all mentioned about landfill, and I just want to pop this on the table as well, because I was really taken aback when I saw this. But Chile's Atacama Desert, the driest desert in the world, is turning into one giant landfill of old or discarded clothes. Now, this is business. This is how these countries make money, because they'll take the waste from countries like Malta, where we don't have the space. They'll charge, and they'll put more than 66 tons of clothes into massive landfill, which is now visible from space. And when I saw that, and you can actually look at the scan from space, and this landfill is visible from space of our garments. These are not garments from Chile. These are garments from Europe that people say, okay, I don't want it. As you said, it can't be resold. It can't be given away to charity, to somebody else. And it goes to landfill. And this is actually, you know, business for Chile, because they have the space to be able to accommodate this. So when I was sitting down to look at this, I want to talk about consumerism and the impact that we're having on the planet, because this is something that concerns all of us. And we are coming to talk about style, but the two are intrinsically connected, mm-hmm. in my mind. Personally, I'm pretty sure that most people are not aware and don't know of the impact of their fashion choices. And probably most people don't know that only 1% of textiles are recycled. Is that a fair statement that most people don't know?
Yes.
That's accurate. Well, we can, maybe whoever is watching this can comment that whether they've known or not, that the CO2 emissions from the fast fashion industry is equivalent to international flights and maritime shipping combined, just to like put it into perspective.
Yeah, so it's one of the worst polluters. The mm-hmm. fashion industry is one of the worst polluters and the second highest user of water, because of course creating clothes uses a vast amount of water.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is why, I mean, I don't know how much we want to go into the fibers, but when you're picking fibers, water consumption really varies between one fiber to the next. For example, cotton. Cotton uses, I think, the most water to manufacture. But if you get organic cotton, it uses less, and it also has less pesticides, and it's also not picked by children. So you're making a more sustainable choice.
Well, let me come to that, sorry. Because I have a statistic for that as well, because 9 out of 10 fast fashion industries underpay garment workers. Mm. An estimated 168 million children are engaged in child labour globally, with around 73 million of them working in hazardous conditions from the age of from around 12 to 14 hours a day from the age of 10. That is roughly 1 in 10 children worldwide. 1 in 10 children worldwide are working in child labour for our fashion industry, so that we can put on an item of clothing that then we're going to throw away.
Sad.
It's abhorrent. Mm-hmm. 1 in 10 children worldwide.
Yeah, but then it's incredible how we are speaking about it and how we believe it's very important. But then when you enter a fast fashion store, you
forget
completely about it. It's because at that moment, you're just concerned of having that trending piece. And as we've been speaking about of the attention we should have on the environment, yes, indeed, we do have. But then eventually when you need to think of your budget, your available budget, or what you need in that moment, it feels like through social media, you really feel the need for that special piece. And you completely forget about what is the sustainable and ethical labor work, the little children, the little child that is working for free basically in Bangladesh, and
so how do we stop people from losing that moment in that moment, because this is an industry worth 1.2 trillion euros a year. So we are driving it. We are creating the demand. We are making this happen. So how do we change people's thinking about this? I mean, this is a huge question. Mm-hmm. But how do we get people to think about what they're buying?
I mean, putting prices up is the first side to it, because everyone's attracted by that bargain. Getting three t-shirts for 10 euros, you know? Like, if it's that cheap, it's not done ethically, you know?
Is that what we're going to just say? Is it a fair statement that if your t-shirt costs you 2 euros, it's probably, and it's a cotton t-shirt, yes, it's probably 100%. Not 100%. It's not. Okay, well, we're at the table.
I know that at the beginning of the year, but I haven't followed up on this, so I don't know if anyone else has. In France, they were discussing putting a law in to tax any fast fashion item of clothing being imported from China. Each item of clothing was being taxed 5 euros. It hasn't passed. This isn't yet a law, but it's in conversation. And it's their way of getting a conversation started on raising prices to try and make things more ethical.
To reflect reality.
Mm-hmm. I think also, all your points are really valid, but in addition to that is introducing a new method of consumption. So everyone likes variety. What's driving Shein? Everyone wants variety. But the only option that is available widely right now is buying the item. So why don't we obtain variety by renting the item? Today, you can rent this red dress, you can return it, someone else will wear it, and tomorrow you can rent the other green dress. So I think bringing rental into the mainstream is also another form of consumption which not many people are thinking about. So it's not only about, so currently the fashion industry works as take resources, make, and then dispose. So what about take, share, reuse, recycle, and just keeping it in our economy as long as possible?
Now, I'm going to come to what you said because I keep coming back to the fact that this idea of rental and also buying used, so going to a thrift store, going to a thrift designer label store, and also buying items online that are used items, so on and so forth, these are quite acceptable in other countries. We just haven't quite got there here in Malta yet. And I think that this whole idea of renting is one solution of a number of solutions. We like it because we like it because you're sitting here. And I think there's also some other solutions as well. And I think also being more mindful of the pieces that you are buying and buying higher end. And we're going to cover all of these. We're going to come to every single one of them. But it leads me on to this question. You said something there that you want a variety. If you've got it in this t-shirt, you want it in this color, you want it in this and this and this. And you said you're likely to buy something similar. But that leads me nicely on to my question that sort of bridges across style, because we've talked about the fact that if you spend 2 euros on a t-shirt, you don't really think about whether it, how stylish it is. I have done this and I put my hand up. I've bought t-shirts that have gone straight to being bedwear because you put them on and they don't fit and there's no way that you're going, honestly, you must have done.
You all must have one.
We all have one. Well, some of us have more than one. But you buy a t-shirt, you love it, you love the logo, it's fantastic. You buy it, you're in a place on holiday and you're, or whatever, and you're like, oh, I must get this t-shirt. You buy it and it's bedwear. No,
you go back home and it's not relevant anymore. Yeah, it changes completely. Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. So with the industry that's so powerful and there are companies making vast sums of money from clothes that look good on racks but really don't look good on us, and all of our purchases do have a shelf life that will need to be replaced at some point or other, I want to ask, what are the mistakes that women commonly make when choosing an outfit? Because surely this also brings us into making sure that we don't buy clothes, rent clothes. This is another option. We will come to that in detail, but we don't obtain clothes that just sit there on the shelf and they don't get worn.
I believe that we since we talked about impulse shopping, so we should stop before doing any purchase and thinking honestly between ourselves and saying, do I really need this cloth? Do I really need this extra garment? And also, am I buying this because I want to follow a trend? Would I still wear this when the trend will be gone? Let's imagine now there is leopard print, animal prints,
yeah,
trending, is everywhere. But let's imagine in May this will be gone. Will I still wear that nice jumpsuit or that nice top in zebra print? Would I still wear it?
No.
Would it still
be
relevant?
No one should. No, I'm just kidding. Ever. No. Doesn't matter what time of year it is. Uh-huh. Leopard print. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's just, so would you still wear it? And also, it's important that we have that statement piece. It's important that we stick to those statement piece.
And what's a statement piece?
I feel that
this is what I'm thinking. This is what you're talking about. Yes. Mm-hmm. Your statement
the
piece.
The statement piece is that piece that with whom you are making the statement. Is it a blazer? Now we are talking a lot about power dressing. So it's, you are, right.
Thank you. Thank you.
So is that blazer, that dress that makes you feel empowered in a way and makes you feel stylish, makes you feel good, makes you feel that you want to have that piece in your wardrobe and you want to style it with anything you have in that wardrobe.
So you, so that piece potentially could be a little bit more expensive and styled
indeed
better, yeah, because you can put it with many things. But I want to come back to something that you just said, and I'm going to get you guys to give your opinion on this, because you just said taking a pause before you buy something and thinking to yourself, is it, will I wear it in 3 months, 4 months, 5 months? Will I wear it in a month? Will I wear it in 6 months? Will it still be relevant in my wardrobe? And I think that is such an important conversation to have with yourself. Mm-hmm. And just, and also it ties into, does it actually fit me and does it suit my style? And again, I want to throw this on the table for you. I've got three very beautiful women who look very stylish sitting at this table. But how do we know what suits us and what doesn't? How do we know? I know because I get other people to choose what I wear because I know I have no style. So I'm very blessed in that. I mean, that is one option. You can actually go and have personal shopping and ask someone.
A stylist. There are quite a few locally who do that. So it's not something we don't have here. And I think it's a really great idea for someone who wants to revamp their wardrobe, get a stylist to shop with you who's going to tell you what looks good on your proportions. But it's also about feeling good. So someone could say, you look great in, you know, a pencil skirt, something fitted on top, and you might not feel good in it. So thank you for the advice, but I'd feel better in something else. So I don't think it's always about what your proportions take, which is what I think a stylist helps you out with, but what represents you. And I think from that, it's finding your uniform and investing in that uniform.
Because you walked in, Nicola, to the studio.
Yes.
You're wearing a blazer, jeans, and a pair of heels. And immediately I went, dang, that's the look I love. That's the look I try to wear. And that's the look, you know, we're both wearing blazers. I love blazers and a pair of trousers. I particularly love blazers with a pair of jeans. You walked in and I'm like, girlfriend, that's my thing. I'm loving what you're wearing. But we like something similar, but that might not be your look. How does that happen? Where are we influenced from? Because everybody has their own personal style and has their own look. So a stylist, like you just said, needs to work within what you like. I've had the lovely Italian gentleman say to me, what do you like? Because he's, and I say, I don't know. But he has now worked out that actually there are certain things that I like. I like blazers, I like trousers, and that's pretty much where we're going. And he will accommodate that, which is great. But where does that come from? Where do those influences? Why is this your look?
I think.
Why is this your look when it's my look?
Because we need to be mindful. I think when you're selecting something, it's like, I forgot that. Wait, what's that woman? Does it spark joy? What was
that? Marie Kondo.
Like Marie Kondo said, does it spark... was a word.
Carla is just laughing at me because my face is like.
Marie Kondo, what was she? Like an organizer. An organizer.
Okay.
So in Marie Kondo's words, does it spark joy? So I see my clothing choices as an expression of who I am. And like personally, I love trousers. I love to wear trousers because I feel confident and I feel comfortable. And so the minute I'm comfortable and I feel like I can do anything. So I think it's about being mindful of the way you feel when you put something on. If it doesn't spark this confidence in you, just because it's the latest trend, such as burgundy, it doesn't mean that you need to also have it. But building a capsule wardrobe, which is going to last you a lifetime.
What's a capsule wardrobe?
So buying a few good basic quality items. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Classic.
So classic pieces, which are going to be in fashion forever in your wardrobe. So a very nice, a very good quality t-shirt, a good pair of jeans. And then just switching it up by putting different things together in your wardrobe. But I think starting with a good base is the key to having a good, is the key to having a stylish look.
Agreed. I think we're agreed on the table. I like that.
Mm-hmm. And for those pieces, those are the pieces that you want to be good quality. So when you're wearing them, you feel, I mean, something that's good quality feels different on your skin and I think makes you stand up differently. Mm-hmm. Maybe because you sort of feel the brand or something when it's mentally. Something that doesn't have a soul to it. Mm-hmm. You treat it differently. But those staple pieces that you were talking about, I feel those are the ones you want to invest in, take care of them, wash them properly, hang them properly, you know, they're like exactly. The gold.
You just said something there that I really want to touch on because you said feel the brand.
Mm-hmm.
And without a shadow of a doubt, when, and this is exactly what Nicola is doing, when you buy a good piece or you hire a good piece, it does make you feel different.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Prada or Gucci or Dior or Carla Grima? What is it about these products that make you feel good? Because we all love, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you've got a haul of sheen. It doesn't matter. You take that person who has a haul of sheen and you say to them, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dress you up in Gucci. I'm going to dress you up in this. They're going to go for it and they're going to feel better. Surely they're going to feel better about themselves in that than sheen. Why?
Well, in my opinion, it's you're buying the dream. I mean, that's common across all luxury brands, across all industries. You're buying the dream. You're buying the status symbol. You're buying that feeling. Like, you're buying the whole experience of luxury. And that's something in 20 years' time, you would still want to buy a Prada bag. But if you're going to a thrift shop and you find a Zara or any fast fashion brand sweater, you would not really give the same value, of course, because you know what's behind the dream, and that's what luxury brands are doing, basically. And I mean, it's not only, of course, the dream. It's everything is what the brand stands for, the brand's values, that you identify yourself with the brand. And that's the key, basically, for also for your style, because you want to identify in what is a brand, like the brand DNA. There is a lot, I mean, marketing is always about this, you know, selling the dream, but also communicating, conveying the brand's values.
But marketing can only take you so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then there has to be a little bit further. Is it the fabrics? Is it the cut? Is it the I mean, what I want to really break down, because this is what your business is all about, is that you are providing access to these brands. What is it about those brands beyond just the dream? And I totally agree, because if you get the choice between a Toyota IQ and a, I don't know, a Jaguar, you're probably going to take a Jaguar, or not with a new logo. And actually, Toyota IQs are easier to park. Wrong analogy, but it's true, wouldn't you? You would definitely go for it. So what is it? What is it, guys? It's about those brands.
I think it's a method of signaling. It's a method of signaling your status. So the economist Veblen said that it's not the accumulation of wealth which signals status, but it's the signaling of that wealth. So this has its roots in ancient societies where people had a place in the hierarchy. And before it was cows, today it's Chanel handbags.
Thank goodness. I've just seen all of us walking around with a cow, you know, me trotting my way through Umjo with a cow. I'd rather the Chanel handbag.
So you want to belong to a certain class.
Elite.
An elite class where you, it's again, the point about fitting in, showing that it could be that for some people that I am worthy, or having something rare, something not everyone can afford, makes me special. So it's, I think it's there, it's very psychological. There's a lot of a deep layer to it, rather than just I look good, let me just walk out the door.
In this show's conversation, we're accompanied by Miral Siras Tere Siciliani. This Sicilian Syrah is a bright, youthful purple colour. It has a pleasant nose, combining red fruit, cut hay, spices, and violet undertones. Miral Syrah is supple and ripe on the palate, flavoursome and easy to sup. A well-balanced wine that's perfect for a well-balanced conversation. Many thanks to What's in Your Glass, brought to you by M&Z Wines. I love this. We've got the whole concept of social status and also living the dream. I'm going to pick this a little bit more, and I'm looking at Carla, because Carla mentioned fabrics as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, there has to be something about the product as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it has to be the cut and the it must be, surely.
Yeah, I mean, for me it is. I guess everyone's speaking from their point of view and what they would select, and mine would be the fabric and the fit. And I think that goes towards lifestyle. So I, you know, would love to put on a tailor-made blazer and go out in that, but it doesn't fit my lifestyle. For me, having, you know, a pair of denim shorts and jeans and having a silk t-shirt is my lifestyle. And I'll put that on every day in sort of spring and summer. And I know I have a day of running around and meetings and studio and kids, but this printed silk comfortable top makes me feel dressed up. Although I have something casual, sort of casual trouser or shorts, whatever, it still makes me feel professional. It still symbolizes who I am and gives me an identity. And for me, it is down to the cut, loose fitting. So I'm not feeling self-conscious about, I don't know, my top going up and carrying things and things going out of place. So the fit is a big thing. The fabric, so having something in a good silk or a linen makes me look more put together, even though I got ready in 5 minutes. And then the print is just the Mediterranean lifestyle that I portray through my life and my brand. So it's a big feeling factor for me that I am comfortable, I'm colorful, and I have breathable, nice fabrics, especially in our climate.
Again, you said something that just got me thinking that I hadn't even thought about before, is that we can go in and we can say, okay, I really love, you and I have got to go blazer shopping, you know, really, we've got a blazer date. But we might go in and say, that's a really nice blazer. But we need to know that that blazer is probably going to be worn in Malta in the winter, probably not in the summer. And we have to be realistic about that, because you've just said, you know, that's your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you and I go blazer matching in the winter, and we go out in the winter, we wear it in the winter. I mean, I do wear blazers in the summer as well, if I can get away with it. But it, there's so much more to being stylish and making good, sensible purchases, or hiring yes. an item like yourself, because it's also to do with the practicality of your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I think the hiring aspect, because I'm really excited about it, and I haven't done it, and I'm definitely going to
We're all doing this. This is so cool.
I think the really cool thing about it as well is there might be something, like for me, maybe a blazer that I'm not sure about. So let me rent it. Let me rent it for a few meetings or events, whatever. Let me see what it feels like to wear the blazer. Let me understand what fit is made for me. And then maybe it moves on to a purchase, or maybe more rentals. I don't know. But it's like that opportunity to play around with the item, which you're not going to go to a premier luxury brand, take the blazer, wear it a few times, and then return it. I mean, I'm sure people do it.
No, sir. No, in fact, I was about to say that, for sure, you know, rent the runway.
Yes.
It's the website that started basically renting the luxury, as the website itself says. And of course, you are renting because you want to start to access, or even just for occasion wear. How many times we say, I don't know, for that event, what should I wear? Like, should I try that for that wedding? What am I wearing? Maybe you just want to wear something nice, looks good, but you're not sure of investing that much, because then, especially at wedding, can you go dress the same way in another wedding? No, of course not, because society kind of
imposes. Oh, you're not supposed to.
Well, I mean, society implicitly imposes this rule, but yes.
Oh, wait, can I just touch on that before we come? Because I know that Nicola's going to jump in there. And this, but this is such a great solution. But I just want to unpick that for a second. Mm-hmm. Why? If we look really good in an item, why can we not wear it to more than one occasion? Because for me, that is the definition of style and sustainability. Is, and I do this, and people will know I'm wearing that dress. And I bought that dress for that occasion, and I'm wearing it now to death. But for me, that is makes sense. It makes sense on every level. I know I look good in it. I feel good. That thing that you mentioned about feeling good. Once you've built a relationship with a piece of clothing and you know you feel good in it, and you've, you know, it's still looking good and it's still structured and it's still, what is it about society that says we should then have to wear something else?
Because you need to appear differently, you know, like you're the same person, but society kind of starts this vicious circle of consumerism in a way. At the same time, I would say that we still have, a lot of women have that approach of saying, you know, I would buy that dress because you can, I can wear it easily for the wedding, but then I can also dress it up or down according to the occasion. Maybe with, you know, I'm a t-shirt on top, I could still have the skirt that is still looking nice. So we, I mean, I believe our grandparents used to have this mentality much more than we do right now.
Of course.
But of, you know, reusing the same garments. Mm. They didn't used to have that many dresses. Yes. And I still remember my grandma, like, she has, you know, all the time I was wearing something new. Ah, oh, is this new? And I was like, yes, I bought it. And she used to tell me how often she was sharing the clothes with her sisters. But yeah, it's nothing like, if you feel good, I believe that as long as you style the dress or the skirt or any item nicely, it's fair enough. You know, like, there is no right or wrong. It's a matter of your style.
Nicola, Martina just said about sharing an outfit with her sisters. You're doing the same thing.
I'm bursting with words.
Go, go. Well, pass this to Carla because she's running low on wine.
I'm
having so much fun. You burst away, my love. Burst all over the place.
So what happened to the idea of when we were teenagers? And I had this dress. I wore it last week. Mm-hmm. My friend has that dress that I really like. So let's swap it. I'll wear your dress. You'll wear mine. Like that, you won't have to wear the same thing again. Although there's nothing wrong with that. But through rental, I can get the dress I wore last week. You can give me yours. We can swap it. We can swap with someone else. So it's this like sisterhood, this community of sharing our wardrobes. It's like, it's so fascinating. Like every time I go into someone's wardrobe and I just see all their dresses there and they're like, I haven't worn that in ages and I'm looking for this kind of thing now. And my mind just starts fireworks. Like I know that I can get those dresses and pass them to this person who's looking for that style. And I know someone else who has that style of dress that you're looking for. So like if we could come together like as this sharing community, I think that we'd make this world such a better place.
Wow. I am so with you. And I have to say, I love what you're saying about sisters. I grew up with brothers and I shared their clothes. And that's probably explains an awful lot of my style. But I do love this whole idea of this sisterhood of sharing and so on, because what you're talking about is a wonderful solution to a very, very critical problem. Because if we continue, and I started off the show by saying this, if we continue the way that we're going, your children, Carla, and your children, potentially ladies, are going to be the ones who are living with the impact of what we are doing today. Not us. Well, not me. I'll be, you know, kick the bucket by then. Hopefully. But it is to me, it just I can't understand why we aren't embracing this. Now let's stick with this whole idea of marrying style and sustainability for a second. We've talked about style, we've talked about what drives you to have purchase. We've talked about this capsule wardrobe. We've talked about the whole aspiration and what it makes you feel like. We've talked about the quality. And for me, in my head, I'm thinking there really is no excuse not to invest in good pieces that, and maybe we need guidance. Maybe, as I always need guidance, but maybe guidance is needed so that you can understand your body shape, because mm-hmm. this is another issue. Of course, we all have very different mm-hmm. shaped bodies and we should be dressing to our body shape. I know for a fact I have a very narrow waist, and wherever possible, I like to make a big fuss of my narrow waist and try and bypass my larger ass. But it is knowing, isn't it, about knowing your body shape as well?
Yes. Yeah.
How indeed. Do we get to know our body shapes?
Well, me personally, in Italy, this started years ago. There was, talking about body and color, there is this color analyst called Rossella Migliaccio, and she started, actually, this is something that started in the 19th century, the analysis of color. And now a whole trend started about studying your face shape, your body shape, your what color matches you. And I think that service, I did it myself because I was curious to see what was looking good in terms of colors, in terms of shapes. And I think that's something that any woman could start to understanding of herself. Am I, what shape is my body? Is it like a pear shape? Is it like an hourglass? What's the shape? And how to start enhancing the good parts. For example, me, I'm short, so I always need to enhance the length somehow. So pointing out the nice parts, the
how do you enhance the length?
You should wear something short, or at least pointing the let's say in my case is having high-waisted pants to elongate in some way the length of the legs, for example, if you have an elongated face shape, you would rather go for something that is round, not to elongate even more your face shape. Yes, There is a whole study behind it. And that's really simple nowadays to look for. It's like a service that you get one time, but it gives you that kind of direction that then you can use as a basis.
Do you ladies know all about this?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How? I mean, you're in the industry, but okay, Nicola, where did you? What? How do you know what suits you? What elongates your? Where did you learn this?
I was always like curious about like shapes. So I think mine is not very professional. Like I used to like look at myself in the mirror, go on Pinterest. There are these like charts. Are you this shape, this shape, this shape?
Yes.
If you're this shape, do this, 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 and this. And then obviously through time, I've met people who do this like color analysis, and it's so interesting. Mm-hmm.
I have Alexei, our videographer. He tells me what colors I can wear and what I can't. He should go into that as a career. He's spot on. But Carla, where did you learn about this?
I think I feel like I maybe said this on the last podcast, but I think my mother, being honest and saying like what doesn't look good and what looks good. But I don't feel, and a lot is sort of through university, but I didn't study styling, so I wouldn't have as much confidence in saying this as a stylist would, I believe. I'm better with color. You know, I can look at you and analyze your colors a lot better than your style. But
there's something you can just look at someone and say what color suits them.
Yeah, I mean, you can have like a color wheel, show them shades, explain like some people look better with white and some people look better with ivory, for example, just to like.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot. Go on, give me something.
Well, that looks good on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal Alexei's blue, you know.
Oh, okay.
Knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. I'm not gonna
absolutely. If anyone would like to hire Alexei, he's available on the weekend.
But I also feel like it is a confidence thing. And I was going to ask you this, although you got a proper analysis, mm-hmm. did you feel confident with the analysis? Or did you feel like, okay, these are the things that I was told to highlight, mm-hmm. but I don't feel that comfortable highlighting them. Mm-hmm. I would rather dress slightly different or mix and match.
Uh-huh. Sure, sure. Yes, for example, in the color analysis I got, there are some suggested colors that look good on me, but I don't really feel good because...
The colors like...
Not no bright colors or like, yes, I try to... And then, of course, once after you get the service, it's not that you need to throw away your wardrobe, even because it goes against what we just said.
Yeah, so if you're going to go and see a stylist and get a color analysis, throw everything away.
Maybe just go alter clothes after, don't throw
it away. No, it's even more like to approach your new shopping experience differently, meaning just don't buy impulsively. Think of what looks good on you. The color that may good look on you. So it may suits you the best.
Yeah.
And you, if that suits you the best, usually, and you look good as well, you would less likely return it, for example, or less likely leave it on your wardrobe because after all, it looks good on you. But yes, of course, I had some colors that I didn't feel like wearing. And then I was continuously wearing some others. Like, I don't know, black is always like a basic color that
everyone loves black.
You know, it's like that kind of color that give you confidence because it's like strong enough. It's like that staple, like the basic thing. But yeah, I mean... You still want to go for the other, like if you look nice and you want to go for something different, it's fair enough. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm,
No, I don't have anything to add. For once.
Oh, I love you, Nicola.
And I just want to add something, like just to wrap up on this. Yes. I mean, the power is in the dress, but then the choice is yours.
Yes.
So... You choose what you're wearing, you choose, and especially what you would like to wear in the future. So yes, we need to remember not to give too much power to that dress hanging on that, you know, hanger, but to remember to choose actively, mm-hmm. not the social
How would
media.
I be giving power to that dress? How would I not be choosing actively?
I think it's about going with your feeling. I mean, I'm terrible at sales, even though it's sort of how my business grows. But if someone comes in and they don't feel good in something, they like it on a hanger, they maybe love the color or they love the idea of it, but they put it on and they don't feel comfortable and confident, mm-hmm. I'm not going to push that sale because I just want people to love it, to say, and to wear it sort of with pride. Like, I got this and this is where I got it from, and sort of be a brand ambassador without knowing that they're being a brand ambassador. So I really believe in the feeling. And that's why I asked you that, because I often feel like there are other clothes I could wear that might make me look, I don't know, better, but I'm comfortable in my choices, no matter how they make me look. And I think that counts for a fair amount and not just always kind of doing what someone else is telling you to do, because it might not be your identity and your personality. So I think trusting yourself when you're making a purchase and not feeling pressured, like, okay, let me get that dress. I think I'll wear it someday. I think I could sort of lose a bit of weight and it will look better on me.
How many of us have bought something for when we lose those 5 kilos?
I mean, I'm sure we've all done it, but I think that's dangerous, you know, and I don't think it makes you leave the shop feeling good. I think you feel a bit upset and insecure and you're not enjoying the rest of your day because you're thinking of that purchase and you're going back to how much you spent on it and when is that day going to come that you're going to wear it.
Now I'm understanding what you meant by when you say giving that dress the power, because giving the dress the power, we've all done it. Haven't we all done it? And it's what I love about this whole idea of renting, because if it doesn't fit, then you don't have to
give it back.
Exactly. Yeah. But we've all done it. We've all bought clothes that we really want to look good in. Mm-hmm. And we know that we'd look better in if we were 5 kilos lighter or 2 kilos lighter. Mm-hmm. But that's giving the dress the power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
And you feel there, like when you take the dress to someone and they're like, I love the dress, but like it's like here is a bit open and I don't think I'm going to be so comfortable. And I'm like, no, don't worry. I don't want you to, because then they get like they associate a bad experience with rental. So I wouldn't want that. So,
or they, I mean, it doesn't, might not be just rental. It could be that they associate bad experience with a low V-neck or a bad experience with something that's too fitted or whatever. I mean, you have to feel good in what you wear, and it comes back to not giving time to something that doesn't make you feel good. Mm-hmm. I know this sounds completely and utterly bonkers, but we are heading towards the end of the show. We could sit here and drink wine all afternoon. but I want to just ask you something that's bugging me a little bit. And I'm pretty much sure it's bugging everybody who's watching. And it comes down to rental or thrifting or vintage or whatever it is. If they're not your sister, or in my case, your brother, there might be a bit of ick in people's minds about wearing something that somebody else has worn, whether it be a Christian Dior dress or a Gucci dress or how do you get past the ick? Because now you don't have just dresses, you also have handbags, and we'll be talking over Christmas, but you have handbags as well, but you're encouraging somebody to take something that somebody else has held, they've probably fiddled with it, they probably put it in the back of their car, they're wearing dress that they've worn to an outfit, to an event. How do you get past that? How with rental luxury? Because that's a practical question I'm dying to ask.
Yes.
Yeah, we're all going, yes.
So we now, lady,
you're on the hotspot, do your sales tool.
So we take cleaning very seriously. I mean, if you've worn a dress to a wedding, you're dancing, you're sweating in it. Obviously. So we don't want other people to experience that. So it depends on the kind of garment it is. So I like to hand wash things. So I do most of the like cleaning myself, and I have another person who takes care of the cleaning. But mainly hand washing with not many chemicals. And in certain cases, depending on the dress, we do dry cleaning. And my bags are kept in pristine condition. They're like my baby. So I condition them, put shampoo. So there's a whole like process that goes into it.
So do you clean it before and after?
Yes. Yes.
For when you take it from a customer and then return it to them.
So when someone gets the bag back, I'll clean it. Mm. And I'll store it there clean, ready for the next rental. You know, dust it off the shelf before I send it out. And so between every rental, every item is cleaned. Yes.
But what if it's you're taking something from Trudy and I'm renting it?
Exactly.
The same process.
So. Yes. So first I make sure that it's clean. So I get mm-hmm. Trudy's dress, okay. Clean it. List it on the website, do a photo shoot, and then it's ready for rental. So sometimes I keep them, sometimes people can decide to keep the dress. And I'll just give them a call okay. And say, is that dress still available? So, yes, that's mainly
it. I do
it.
Love this idea. We are coming to the end. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do this all, I know, but
I have questions myself.
Okay, no, fire away the questions.
Like 3 pages of talking points.
Ask a question because we have this opportunity.
They'll come out, but it's really interesting, and I also find sort of all your advice from all the different brands, and you can tell that you've worked with so many different brands and styles, which is really helpful, I think, for everyone listening that's trying to figure out their style, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, indeed. Like Max Mara has a line called Marina Rinaldi, and that's for plus size. The whole concept is same quality of Max Mara, but different body shapes. So yeah, indeed, I've always been having this approach of having quality. Like, you know, inclusivity has been really booming on social media. We were all so obsessed about being inclusive, mm-hmm. but then, seriously speaking, there are not so many brands now really taking it into consideration. So yes, I think mm-hmm. that maybe even for renting, why not? Like maybe you want to try something different shape, as we said, and it's important to anyway feel good in what you're wearing.
That's a question. Coming back, you just raised a really good point. If I am a size I can come to you and ask you, what do you have in size?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a particular body shape, which means there's a lot of things that don't suit my shape. And I'm assuming that I would come to you. Would I come to you and say...
Yes, you'd come to me and say, this is my size.
Uh-huh.
And what do you have in my size?
Ooh.
But then can you alter things? No, I guess.
No, we don't do altering. Mm. But the idea is, and like many people tell me, but... if I like this dress and you don't have my size, but then I wouldn't be any different to huge shops which have this dress in every size. So that's the beauty of having variety and different sizes, because if I had to stock every size, then it loses the charm.
Also, some brands only produce up to a certain size. So then you have to, like you said, look for the other brands that produce the bigger sizes or the smaller sizes, depends on the brand.
I want to throw one additional thought. We've talked about so many different things, and I'm going to list in a moment what my takeaways from today are, and I'm going to ask you guys to think now what your closing thought is, what your takeaway from today is. But one extra thing that I want to reiterate, and this is the idea of personal shopping. We never talk about this. It's essentially part of your role. And as you say, Carla, it's part of your role. And when people come to you, as you said, if it doesn't look good on them, you're not going to let them walk away mm-hmm. with that item, because you want them to feel good and that they are an ambassador. With you, Nicola, people are coming to you, they're saying, I want to rent a dress or handbags suit pretty much suit anyone. They come in any size, don't they? But they want to rent a dress or an outfit, and you're going to guide them, I assume, and say if somebody picks one out and says, you'd be like, meh, because you want someone to come back to you for your business. But also, I think it's worth mentioning that the times that I have been involved in brands and I've had the opportunity for someone to take away my sort of random style, I don't know, ignorance, and actually just say, Trudy, just try this, put this on, I'm always surprised. And I get someone to choose what I wear.
Wait, can I just add something to that? Sure. The shopping experience. You cannot get that from shopping online, yep. Which, you know, I mean, shopping online is sort of massive, but you'll never find out your style from doing it online, I believe. Going in a shop and having that experience and someone encouraging you to try something different or giving you an honest opinion cannot be replaced by...
And really, you're going to get that from fast fashion, let's face it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. The reason you're going for fast fashion is for different purposes.
Yes.
It's price, convenience, it's anything, and trends at a convenient price. That's mainly it. Again, you're shopping online for other purposes. Yes, you're shopping online because maybe you also check online the prices and then you choose the best one. Or you associate yourself with that specific multi-brand shop and you trust their styling, you trust whatever the brands they have and you want to shop from there. But yes, I agree. In-store experience is what everyone is still looking for nowadays. There are different reasons why you shop in a channel or in another, but still, yeah, in store is the experience, and people get a lot of training to ensure that you get the best outfit out of your purchase. Like, they get trainings on different body shapes, they get training on the new trends, the special materials that a certain collection has, and yeah, so of course this special training, the more advanced you go, the highest in luxury you go, the more frequent they are, and of course they are taken very seriously,
and that's part of the experience that you mentioned before, that both of you ladies mentioned before, about that aspiration to the band. Listen, I would really challenge anyone to go back, listen to this show again, because, or watch this show again, because there's been so many takeaways, so many bits of really valuable thoughts and advice that I absolutely love. And Carla's looking at me because there's a bunch of things that we haven't talked about, which means we'll come back and do this.
I have no problem.
I've got a fear that Nicola's going to get straight onto my Instagram and be like, when are we doing that show again? Be persistent, because I think we need to have a conversation about this. And I'm going to sort of run through the salient points that I'm going to take away with me, one of them being there is absolutely no way that we can sustain as a planet, as a human race, what we are doing right now. And not only is it bad for the planet, it's also bad for us as human beings. Because I don't know about you, but when I put on that t-shirt that I bought as a rush purchase and it doesn't fit, I feel a bit crap, actually. And that comes back to this idea of having, not giving the clothing the power. You have the power. You don't have to fit it. It has to fit you. The power lies within us to choose what we want to wear. And some clothes are going to make us feel good and some clothes are not. And that's nothing to do with us as human beings. It's because the way that clothes are made and whether or not that particular item suits our style. So I loved what you said. Don't give that dress the power, or blazer, or whatever. I love the fact that there are alternative ways to feel amazing. Whether that be going in and buying a capsule wardrobe and those key pieces that, as you rightly said, that just make you feel good, or whether the fabric is right and it just makes you feel amazing, or whether it's coming to you and saying, hey, listen, I want to wear Chanel for my Christmas party. And you're like, damn it, girlfriend, I have that. I'm going to make that happen for you. And walking, I love the fact that we, you know, we're just a few days away from Christmas and New Year, and I'm pretty sure everybody's going to be calling you, going, "Can I get?"
So.
Okay, we're all there first.
You, okay?
We're all there first. Okay, quick online. But we're going to be able to have a look, and we're actually going to be able to walk around with an item that makes you feel good. And we're not disputing that those items make you feel good. They do, because that's the way they're designed, from the style, the branding, and so on. And I think to kind of wrap it up is that is that it's worth exploring what really suits you. And even if it means that you can only have one piece that really does amazing things for you and makes you feel amazing, that's worth 1,000 pieces that makes you feel okay, both for yourself, but also for the planet. Wow, that was good.
That's really good.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I know. It's like I do this professionally. So I'm going to come around the table and I'm going to, Nicola, you made this show happen. So I'm going to let you have the last word. But what is your closing thoughts? What is your kind of your synopsis of what we've discussed today?
Well, we need to approach our purchase experience, shopping experience more consciously.
Can I just come into that? Because I forgot that really resonated. Think about what you're buying. Spend time to think about what you're buying. And I loved what you said. Is it still going to look good? Am I still going to wear it in 6 months, in 2 months, in 2 weeks? Love that. Sorry.
Yeah. So think about the fabric. Think about craftsmanship. Think about if you are still going to wear it. If not, what are the other solutions? And just don't buy that impulsively because an influencer is wearing it in the social media you're looking at in that moment. Just think before you're doing anything.
I love that. I love that. I'm definitely taking that away.
I think with the thinking, it's like think of how that came into the shop as well. If you want to be a conscious consumer, think of the process. I mean, if you think of the process of your food, why not about your fashion? And I feel maybe this might help if there are any listeners still unsure of how they can do that. Because I think it's quite a big topic. And I think it's quite difficult to think about how do I change my habits. And I would say quite a big one is looking at your labels. So the care label, which is in every piece of clothing you buy, whether it's fast fashion or luxury, has got the fabric composition in there and the country of production. If you want to wear something that's good for the environment and good for your skin, that's not going to leach chemicals into your skin, try not to go for polyester. I mean, polyester, there's nothing positive that I can say about polyester. Maybe in sportswear because waterproof and all these things, but in the clothing we're talking about, there's nothing positive, especially in our climate. You sweat, it smells, as simple as that.
If that doesn't put you off, nothing will.
So if you cannot opt for, you know, the expensive linens and silks, try find something in between, like a viscose, a rayon, a modal. These are made from a cellulose that is natural, like wood pulp, but they're called semi-synthetic because they go through a man-made process to be produced.
Name those three for me again.
Viscose, rayon, modal. I mean, there might be others. Now, cupro, I think cupro is also in that family. So those fibers are not polyester, so they're not made from plastic. They biodegrade a lot quicker than polyester would. They're not as expensive as silk. Even better than that is a mixed fiber, so you can have viscose with silk. So if this New Year's you want to invest in a nice black dress that you might wear every year, try to find something that's a blended fabric and that will always look nice. I mean, this is if you're not going to rent, of course.
I'll consider it.
Yeah, we're all tiptoeing around you right now.
But I feel like starting from fabric choices is really important, at least what I've learned, and where it's produced. So to me, polyester in Bangladesh screams low wages, child labor, not gonna look good for very long, and not gonna care for it. So gonna take that dress off, throw it on the floor, throw it in the machine, wrong setting, whatever happens to it, didn't spend much on it.
So sort of to add to that, just as a kind of a summary of what you've just said, and I love the fact that you've gone for this conscientious, this environment and ethical impact is your closing thought. But to come back to that, we also said right at the very beginning, and you nodded at this, if you're buying a t-shirt that is €2 the chances are it doesn't have good ethical principles. It certainly doesn't have environmental principles, and it's probably not going to be good for your skin.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, I really stand by that. And
That is just a brilliant way. And I'm definitely going to go back and start looking at my labels, mm-hmm. because I think that's a really, really good way.
I think it's a simple way to just try to understand what kind of consumer you have been. I mean, I've done this exercise, to be honest. I have looked at labels. I like taking hand-me-downs. I get given hand-me-downs quite often. I still love them, even though sort of I'm in the fashion industry. Doesn't mean I'm shopping all the time. I love giving new life to clothes that people hand on, but I'm also quite aware of looking at those labels and whether I'm buying or taking that hand-me-down, understanding what I'm putting into my wardrobe.
And I love it. Absolutely love that. Thank you very much.
Have removed polyesters from my
wardrobe. Brilliant. We're all going to go home and remove the polyester without a shadow of a doubt. Nicola, you contacted me. You said, I want to talk about this idea. I want to talk about my brand. And I'm going to ask you, we've heard a lot about rent luxury. We're all very much behind what you do. But just as a basic principle outside of the brand, and because we're sitting here as four people who are interested in what we look like, give me your closing thoughts.
Well, I think that now is the perfect time to explore different methods of consumption. I think that if we continue down this path of fast fashion, it's not going to look nice in a couple of years' time. So I think we need to start thinking about our need to purchase, and that there are other methods of feeling good, and we should take the time to explore what's available, trying before buying, and just in general, thinking about the planet first.
Absolutely. And wearing really gorgeous, quite lovely clothes. Cheers to you. We're all coming round to your house. Thank you so much, ladies.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.
What a great show.